Hi, it's Diane. It is Tuesday, September 12th, and I'm here with a noon group. So far, we have Stan and Jennifer. Let's start with check-ins and celebrations. Which one of you wants to go first?
Check-ins, everything's going well. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Stan.
No, go ahead.
I think celebration, little celebration is my son was asked a bunch of times this past weekend, you know, you're 16, you're almost 17, when are you going to drive? Why don't you want to drive? And he was able to recognize that I need to get some more control over my impulses before I try and drive, or before I get my permit, which I thought showed great maturity on his part, recognizing that he needed some more work before getting behind a, you know, several thousand pound weapon.
Well, and is that your observation of what if you kind of were to assess where he's at relative to being able to drive, is that kind of your assessment as well?
What did you say? What?
Is that your assessment as well, or is that just his perspective? I guess I'm wondering whether you're...
What he's saying, but we also do agree with it, that he needs to not, you know, be less quick to get upset if, like, someone cuts me off when I'm driving. So, yeah, I mean, I see it. I'd like for him to start driving or learning, but at least he recognizes why he doesn't. He didn't say, well, why should I? Mom and Dad drive me everywhere. You know, I think he's got a valid reason as to why he wants to wait a little more. So now it's getting with his therapist and, okay, let's work on steps to get him to a point where he feels as though he can drive without a problem.
Great. Awesome. Stan, what do you want to celebrate today?
I'll mention that, but I first have to comment that my wife and I are looking forward to those same kind of decisions that you were just talking about the whole driving situation, and that he may not be ready based just on his age, but the maturity and readiness issues. So we're anticipating the same kind of thing. But in terms of celebrations, just want to mention that last night I kind of used all the tools I've learned here and was able to really deal well with Martin and his homework situation and point out that he couldn't just spend hours goofing off on his phone, although I didn't use to say the word goofing off, but that he'd have to start after a 10-minute break because he only had 3 hours to do 4 subjects. And he really accepted that and went right into doing his homework after and totally focused. And about an hour into it, I told him that I'd clean up for him after his dinner if he continued to concentrate as well as he had been. And he loved that idea. And sure enough, I did do that after giving him dinner. And it was like a wonderfully successful homework evening. And I just remember last year, just all of the disasters I had, just being a nag and insistent and just being overly directive and not having his buy-in, and it was like night and day. So I'm really proud of how that worked out and hope I can sustain that.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, the beginning of the school year is the best time to have some of those successes because our kids are a little bit more engaged, mm-hmm. or they haven't burned out yet. They're, you know, they're intrigued and interested in their new teachers, and so that's great that you were able to do that. And what do you think was the number? You said you used all your tools. What was the tool that most helped you?
Well, I think it was just presenting the options without being insistent or nagging. And also later, I saw how tired he was getting, like after 10. And I said, you know, you could go to sleep now and then wake up a half hour early and finish when you're alert again. And just presenting that as an option to him instead of forcing him to do that. I think it was like presenting things as options and getting buy-in versus being insistent that he do it my way and not giving him options, but just that he'd have to do it the way I thought would work best.
Love that. Love that. Awesome. So,
yeah.
Stan, where do you want to take aim today?
I think really sustaining that. I can't think of anything else except to sustain that. I mean, where I'd really love to do better is on weekends, getting him to do more things outside or things with me that we enjoy together, like going to the pool or playing squash. And all summer, I only did each of those things once, because every time I asked him, except for once each, he said no, that he preferred to just stay home and hang around. But I did manage to make many more play dates with him than usual in past years, hanging out with friends and organized a bunch of things. But as far as the two of us, there wasn't really much fun times together that were organized and programmed in that same way. And I would love to have a little bit more of that happen. So that's my secret wish that I find it hard to admit, but I would like a bit more
of
that.
Well, I think that that's great. I think I think that one of the things we can talk about is kind of what does scaffolding look like in this instance, because, you know, we're talking about the balance between directing and allowing. You know, something like having fun together is something that we naturally would say, well, you know, we don't want to direct fun, but it may be that you want to hold him accountable for, you know, doing something, you know, on a regular basis with you, if that's important to you, and, you know, kind of really looking at what might be going on. So I think that'll be a great place for you to take aim, Stan, and get curious and say, what's going on for him around this?
Okay, thanks.
Because I think it's honoring, what I'm guessing, and check me on this, is you're honoring really two values for you. One is that connection and time together, and then the other is the fun. Because it seems like you've got both those values in there. Okay. Jennifer,
yes,
where do you want to take aim? Jennifer?
Sorry, I'm mute on. I think taking aim is just trying to, you know, the next couple weeks finished out that he knows the importance and realizes that he has stuff he has to do if he wants to compete in the next few weeks in competitions.
So what's the realistic change that you want to see, Jennifer?
I think for him to, if I give him a copy of Home Access printed out, for him to see, oh, wow, yeah, and then, you know, let him know, okay, 6 weeks end Friday, and let him take the ball and say, okay, well, I better get with these teachers about these NHIs that are on a grade book and figure out why she doesn't have it or get it done.
So hang on a second. So right now, if you had to grade him on a scale of 0 to 10 in terms of his independence to do that right now, what would you say his score is?
Probably a 4 or 5.
Okay, because what you're describing is a pretty high level of independence. And so I guess My question is, how realistic is it that he's going to just be able to do what you just described? Or is it really about helping him to be successful in finishing the semester with a level of scaffolding that feels like it's challenging him but helping him at the same time?
Well, be independent, but, I mean, since he has absolutely no concept of time or schedules or anything, that's why I would print out the home access report and say, hey, the six-week grading period ends Friday. You know, any grades that are below 70, you know you won't be able to compete. And then probably just ask them, okay, what teachers do you need to get in touch with tomorrow?
So hang on a second, Jennifer.
Yeah.
So let's rather than focusing on the solution, let's focus on the problem. And so what it sounds like is that you want him to be successful in passing his classes. Is that right? Or is what you're really trying to do is to help him, I guess I'm trying to figure out if the balance here was success in getting his grades done or independence, more independence, but maybe not get his grades passed, and you had to trade off those two. How would you balance that?
I'd like independence for him to get his stuff done.
So you'd like independence even if it meant that he failed and he couldn't do the ROTC thing. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, but
so how,
he's not there to take it, and he still needs the reminder, like, okay, here, you know, 6 weeks is ending,
yes.
You know what happens.
Right, so that's why I'm saying is that if you think about, rather than, so independence is the end point, right?
Right.
And so if you're trying to help him to be more independent, I guess the question is your goal to focus on him being more independent, or is your goal to help make sure that he can compete in ROTC? Because the two may not be mutually exclusive.
I think I want him to be able to compete because I know it means so much to him.
Okay. So that might mean that the level of scaffolding that you include right now might be a little bit more than what you would do if it was a safer place to not be successful. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So you're making a conscious decision to get engaged so that you can help him to be successful.
Right.
Okay. So you're, the challenge that you're trying, so where you're taking aim is how to help him to successfully get his grades up so he can compete.
Right. Okay.
Does that distinction make sense?
Yes.
Because there are times that we focus on independence, and independence is a process, not an outcome. But it sounds like what's going on for you right now is that this outcome is, because it's a short-term situation, the outcome becomes more important to you and to him, obviously, because you know that he wants to be able to compete.
Right.
Okay. All right. So I am going to jump into our lesson, and we are back in on September, so that means we're going back to lesson one. I don't know if you guys went back and looked through the front part of the manual. It's been 12 months since you guys were in there. But it, this time of the year, it's a great time when schools start again to start through the cycle again. And the first thing we always focus in on is our own self-care. Because we know that making sure that we're taking care of ourselves is probably the most important thing that we can do to make sure that we have enough energy and stamina and resilience to kind of handle those challenge areas that our kids are facing. So the first lesson of the year is always putting our oxygen mask on first. And so I'm on page, what page is that? The numbers are so small.
15. And this is the ending of my first 12 months, so I haven't been here before.
Yeah, so you're ending and putting your oxygen mask on first, or you're restarting, depending on whether you've decided whether you're going to go in and do another year or not, Jennifer.
Right.
So we've got in here this exercise of the wheel of self-care, and as I said, you know, this is often the last thing we think about, but it becomes the most important thing that we think about. But what I really want to kind of just do is to have you glance at this wheel and look at these areas that we've called out, and there may be other areas for you that are important part of self-care for you, and really kind of rank your current satisfaction. We use this the wheel of life, different versions of this in Sanity School a lot, but this is one of the places we use it in Parent Success System as well to kind of really look at all of those different aspects of self-care to just kind of say, how are we doing on this? How are you doing on sleep, nutrition, exercise?
So it's me personally.
Yep.
Okay.
Personal care, your physical environment, how you're balancing your time, your social life, your sexuality, and your intimacy, all of those things. So take a moment and just, you know, make some notes. The way these wheels work, I don't know if you guys are familiar with these, but the center of the circle would be a 0 level of satisfaction, and the outside edge of the circle would be a 10 level of satisfaction. So you want to just put a dot or a tick mark on there to show kind of where you are currently. And this may change from day to day, week to week, but just your current satisfaction. And this is a way to kind of really look at what you might need that would help you to put your oxygen mask back on.
Give me an example of physical environment.
So physical environment might be, so like right now I don't have any power in my house, so my kitchen is a mess and it makes me crazy and it raises my stress level because I like to have a nice, neat kitchen. So that would be an example of how your physical environment might impact your self-care. Or it might be that,
the tone of the home?
It's not so much the tone. The physical environment is one of the pies in the tone of the home wheel of life as well. So kind of how your house looks and feels. The tone of the home is more about, also about kind of the communication interactions as well, where this is just literally about the physical aspects of it.
Okay.
So just take a minute and let me know what you notice about these self-care things. Maybe there's some things you're really good at. Maybe there's some things that you're surprised that you aren't even paying attention to. And I'm curious what you guys think.
I think when, like, it's all up to me and my choices, I'm really low.
That's so funny because for me it's the opposite. I'm really high on the things that are being my choices, like nutrition, exercise, and personal care. And low on the things that involve others, like social life and sexuality, intimacy.
Hmm. So Stan, can I ask you a question about that?
Sure.
So is that about advocating for yourself? Is that about helping the others around you get what they need so that you can then get what you need? Or what do you think that's about?
Yeah, I like that way of thinking of it, of advocating for my needs, and I'm not particularly good at that. And a lot of times I wait for someone else to initiate things, like whether it's sexuality, intimacy, or social life. And I don't take that into my own initiation. So I could do a lot better with both.
Well, and it's hard to ask for what you need. I mean, when you live in a household where there's a lot of challenges and a lot of mm-hmm. energy spent helping other people, it's hard to ask for what you need yourself. And so I think that advocating mm-hmm. is such a powerful tool in any aspect. I mean, sometimes it's advocating for yourself and saying, you know what, I'm sorry, but I do need to go to the gym today, and you need to figure out something else to do for the next 2 hours, mm-hmm. or whatever it is.
Yeah, and a good example for me is that I subscribed to a concert series this year for the first time, I think, since Martin was born, and I decided I would just do it myself. So that's really low on the intimacy, sharing something with my wife, or the social life, like inviting a friend. It's just, I just felt a need to just go out and have a little fun on my own, but it doesn't really connect with people at all.
Yeah. Well, and I love how that's kind of I love how this kind of ties back to the place you're taking aim
mm-hmm.
This week, Stan. And so I guess I'm curious
yes.
if you were going to advocate, if you were going to advocate for yourself in your relationship with Martin around, you know, having fun and spending time together,
mm-hmm.
what are some of the first steps you might take?
Well, just as an example, the other day I suggested that he and I bring our house guest to our state capitol here in Maryland, Annapolis, and show him around. And Martin just completely rejected that idea, even though I thought that he would think that would be a lot of fun. And then I guess he's at a certain age. It just dawned on me, because the next thing that came up is that a friend invited him over for kind of the end of that day, and he was totally enthusiastic. So,
wow.
I guess I just have to realize that he's at an age where he has a strong preference for spending time with kids his own age, and that, you know, his dad is now second fiddle.
Well, and I guess that's the question is, so it's that sort of, you understand and have compassion for who he is and what he's all about, and you have needs,
mm-hmm.
and you want to have a relationship. And so,
yes.
you know, what does it look like to advocate for yourself in this instance?
I'm not exactly sure, because even like to go to our synagogue together, I always ask him if he would come with me, and he always says no. And all sorts of things that I ask if he'd like to take a walk or do anything, and it's always no.
So can I give you a challenge, Stan? Because what's coming up for me is the fact
yeah.
that you said earlier that buy-in and options are what really gets
mm-hmm.
Martin humming. So if you mm-hmm. were to say, Martin, I want to spend some time with you this week. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. It doesn't have to be hours and hours and days and days. But I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure that that happens. But I want it to be your choice what we do. Here's
mm-hmm.
a few options, and I'm open to options you have as well. But it's that sort of subtle distinction between allowing and negotiating what you need, right? So it's kind of that, if we've got three choices as parents. We've got directing, which is you will do this. We've got allowing, which is we ask, and if they say no, we say, okay, fine. To the in-between, which is, look, my need is to spend time with you. Your need is to have independence and have time with your friends, and I don't want to take that away from you. And I want to figure out how we can both get our needs met in this instance.
I like
that's
that
the middle
a lot.
Place.
I almost know exactly what he'll say, which is to play on the Wii together and do one of the fun things on the Wii, because he loves those kinds of screen games. So I can almost predict exactly what he'll say, and that he would enjoy doing something that is like playing together on the Wii. So I think I could make something happen that is one of his choices that I would enjoy too. So I like that a lot.
So what, how hard would that be for you to step into that?
That would be really easy.
Awesome. Awesome. So what are you committing to doing around this?
Well, I will speak to him and tell him that I'd really enjoy spending some time together. And what would he enjoy doing the most? And sometimes it works for me if I tell him that he doesn't have to decide immediately, but that, you know, to think it over the next day, because he doesn't like to be put on the spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that, because you know him well enough to know that if I say, tomorrow I want to talk to you about this, go and think about it, he's going to respond a lot differently than if you say, okay, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Love that.
Mm-hmm.
So Jennifer, so you were talking about the ones that are lower for you. Where are your ahas in this pie chart?
That I think I, you know, like my time management and sleep is high, that when it has to do with other people, I do good making sure their needs are met. But when it's my turn, like making sure I exercise or I eat properly, you know, and it's just up to me, you know, I'm the only one that really can make those choices, they're low. I put a lesser priority on it than making sure that, you know, everything in the family, all the stuff in the family is taken care of, you know, time management, like, you know, we have enough time for homework and making sure that's taken care of and the chores or whatever, work, you know, making sure we get to bed early enough so we can wake up at, you know, 5 a.m. You know, so I still need to work on taking better care of myself.
So if you had to prioritize and you look at this list and you say, okay, there, this is the one place that I might take aim on for me, which one jumps out at you, Jennifer?
I think nutrition and exercise. That, or exercise especially, is what I really should be doing better on. And you know, especially since I have a goal of losing X amount of weight, so my son and I can go skydiving. And I told him that.
Yeah. Wow.
With
that's exciting.
The certificate that I won. So it's just, you know, making it more of a priority to me rather than, you know, I don't know, maybe I need to make it more a priority to me rather than making sure that everybody gets enough sleep at night. You know, I just go to the gym or I wake up on my own earlier and go to the gym.
So before you jump to solution, let's go and use the model for a second and ask what's going on. What is it that gets in the way? What makes it hard to make exercising a priority for you right now?
I think just the time. I don't allow the time, or I don't have – the energy or willpower to do it. Or, you know, I don't want to, because I know, like, if I can wake up early in the morning and do it, that's better than trying to do it at night when I'm too exhausted.
So Jennifer, it sounds like, so hang on a second. So you jumped right into the logistics. So it sounds like that the only barrier to getting this done is the logistical part of it. Is that true? Or is there a prioritization piece of it and an energy block there?
I think there's a prioritization a little bit and energy block, because I don't put that much priority on it as I should.
So what would be different if it was a more of a priority for you to get regular exercise? What would be different if it was more of a priority for you? What would you say no to in order to say yes to this?
Probably a little less sleep. You know, I just need to make it my priority, not the rest of the family's priority.
Tell me what the distinction means there.
You know, like, if my husband's too tired or doesn't want to wake up to go to the gym, I shouldn't let that prevent me from going.
Got it.
You know,
it's right now what tends to happen is that if you have to go alone, or if you have to get up early, or if you have to, you know, it's like if there's that little bit of extra effort for you, it makes it harder.
Right. And I shouldn't let that happen. But I use it, you know, it as an excuse, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's not a good excuse, really.
Well, and I think that that's the question is, what's the excuse really about? You know, is the excuse about the fact that you're spending more energy being hypervigilant about everybody else, and so it's harder to put yourself on the list? Is it about the fact that you really want to spend time with your family, and so going and doing something on your own feels like a lower priority? Is it that you're a little bit stressed out, and so you're sleeping more than you probably need to because you're just exhausted and maybe a little blue? I mean, there's lots of different variables here to look at. I think the question is just kind of where's that important nugget for you as you look at this situation?
I think it, you know, because my husband keeps saying, oh, we'll go at night, and we never do. So I just need to say, you know, well, forget it. I need to do it on my own. I mean, BC, before my child, I had absolutely no problem waking up 4:30 in the morning, getting to the gym when they opened at 5:30 or 5 o'clock. I had no problem doing that 5 days a week. So I just need to, you know, just stop saying, okay, I'll wait for them, as they keep saying, you know, like my husband says he'll do. I just need to do it on my own. Maybe once I do it, he'll follow then.
Yeah. Well, and so I think that that's the question, is just kind of raising your level of consciousness to what might be going on. And so it sounds like what you want to do is, you know, just kind of tighten your belt and say, let's just make it happen. And I'm always curious when that becomes the answer, because for most of us, it's not always that simple. you know, there's something else underneath it. And so I think that that's the piece of it. And I think, Jennifer, what's coming up for me is this idea of hypervigilance. And it's mostly because it resonates. I hear that in your voice occasionally, and I resonate with it a lot personally. So I guess I would challenge you to kind of go, okay, is it hard for you to do some things that take you away from keeping an eye out on everybody else?
No, because
they'd
be asleep.
So what comes up for you as I say that? They'd be asleep. So it really wouldn't take away from them in that instance. Okay.
No. Except for the fact that by the time I get home from the gym and need to take a shower and get ready for the day, they'd also have to be getting up and getting ready, which doesn't always, or for my son, doesn't always work without constant nagging sometimes. So he'd have to be more responsible for getting up, and a couple days a week my husband will already be gone because he'll have to work at 6 or something. So it's just knowing that, giving myself permission to take the time for myself to do what I need to do to keep healthy and be around for the family.
Yeah. Well, and I love the fact that you've tied it back to this goal of being able to go skydiving with your son, because it's that, you know, is that connection back to him that gives you the space and the, it sounds like, some motivation to get back to the gym.
Right.
Cool. So, Stan, what else is coming up for you in this conversation?
Nothing much except that I do relate it back to my own situation, and thinking especially how everything is connected. Like, if you want to go to the gym early, that it's connected to the family and connected, you know, to your spouse and your child and their needs and changing the routine, and how it's like we can't really change one thing without impacting on something else. And I also reacted that the idea of sleeping less in order to exercise more seemed like a really bad trade-off because of how important sleep is, and that it's not like you're going to get healthier from having less sleep, because sleep apparently is one of the most important things and that none of us get enough of. So
I
had a reaction to that,
yeah,
but I managed,
yeah,
not to say anything.
Well, and I think that, you know, and it's like my initial reaction was the same thing, but I don't know, we don't know, honestly, whether Jennifer could be sleeping 10 hours a night,
yeah,
so that she,
exactly,
could be safely spend 2 hours, you know, at the gym or whatever, but everybody's choices,
right,
are different and trade-offs are different, aren't
for
they?
For sure. And I managed,
yeah, I mean,
to keep quiet.
I probably don't need as much sleep as I do get.
Okay.
And I'd,
that's
still
great,
be okay with getting up an extra, you know, hour and a half or two earlier to go work out.
Just, even if it's once a week, yeah, that would be great.
Awesome. So going back to your wheel, I'm curious, what are the things that you guys do really do well? So, Stan, you said that the exercise and some of those other, and nutrition are things that are already on your list. What, are there other things that you are finding that are easy for you to prioritize in terms of self-care?
I think it's really those two things, and I know that I don't get enough sleep because sometimes when I, this may sound totally crazy, but when I take care of my teeth in the evening, sometimes I catch up on the news and then I get absorbed in that, and I know I'm not supposed to have screen time just before bed, and I feel like it's a waste of time, but I get so absorbed that I might spend a half an hour catching up on the news while I'm taking care of my teeth. And it sounds crazy, but I would love to get a little more sleep, and I don't need the screen time then. And I think it's really hard for me to again, this the notion of self-discipline to tear yourself away from one thing to do another thing that you think is a better trade-off.
So what do you think is the, yes, so is the screen thing a compelling thing? Is it stimulating your brain?
No,
what are you?
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, yes and yes, but it's certainly not more important than getting enough sleep every night. And I think, you know, I keep telling myself this is crazy, but I have to change my habits. And
well, is it about changing
like,
your habit or about understanding why it's easy? What you know, because it's, there's something that getting on the screen is doing for you, whether it's stress relief or
mental
connection or stimulation. Yeah.
Yeah, mental stimulation. And I don't need it. I could just lay in bed and read for 5 minutes and get, you know, intellectually stimulated, but not have the light shining in my eyes from the screen, which apparently is not good for that last hour before sleep. So I think I just have to force myself to change a little bit. And like I was saying earlier, even if it's one day less a week to start with that, like it may not be 7 days a week, but just gradually change that night by night.
Yeah, yeah, love that, love that. So, Jennifer, I want to go back, if we can, a little bit. We've got a few minutes here, since your topic, Stan's topic tied back in really well to today's topic, and I'm guessing yours does too, if we stretch it. But I guess I want to go back and say, you know, what do you think when we changed your taking aim to kind of how to help your son get his grades up so that he can compete. Where do you want to go in terms of kind of looking at what's going on and what the right level of scaffolding is to help him to be successful this week?
I think, you know, like I said, you know, printing out home access and making sure he knows what he needs to get done before Friday so he can compete. You know, and then the rest is going to have to be up to him.
So hang on a second. So what we're focused on right now is what is and isn't a realistic expectation. So I guess the question is, you say it's up to him. I mean, is it realistic that he can do all this, or does he need even more help than he normally needs because this is such a pressure time?
No, I think it is realistic that he, because we've been through this before. You know, this whole process of, okay, here's what you need to do if you want to compete. And he's been on academic probation and not competing or being able to practice because he didn't have his grades where they should be or something. So I think it's definitely something he can handle. But he needs, a nudge.
Well, and how do you know if he's, I guess that's my question, is how will you know if he's struggling?
Struggling with what?
Getting everything done so that his grades will go up.
Because he will shut himself off and won't do anything like homework or assignments that I know he has, you know, because I keep track of, you know, what his classes have to do. But if he's not, you know, if he's saying, oh, I don't have anything, everything's okay, everything's great, no problems, no questions, you know, I know that, okay, he's overwhelmed, especially if I know he's got, you know, a project in every class. I know he has a hard time with that. Or even in two or three classes. And I guess just knowing him and how he is when it's different, I guess, from procrastinating versus just being overwhelmed and not knowing where to start or how to start.
Yeah, yeah. So knowing that you have these, this, you know, you can tell when he's stuck and when he's needs help. What do you need to do more of over the next few days to kind of help make sure that he's as successful as he can be?
I think just, you know, every day, ask him, you know, what's going on? What did your teacher say when you asked her about this? What, you know, what do you need to work on? Can I help you with something? You know, just let him know that, you know, we're there to help him succeed. But, you know, there's going to be nothing we can do if he doesn't, you know, talk to the teacher himself, because I'm not going to talk to the teacher and say, oh, can you send me this assignment that he needs to finish? I mean, all I can do is, you know, remind him and maybe, you know, send him an email, a text during the day. Did you, you know, reminder, don't forget, ask your teacher about this. That he's going to have to, you know, remember and take the initiative to do it.
Okay. Okay, so it sounds like you've got a clear boundary in your mind of what you want to put in place, as well as some steps that you can take that will be helpful.
Right.
How likely is this to be successful?
I think he would. I mean, it's definitely, like I said, it's not the first time we've been through this. That, you know, he knows the routine, that he can do it, and he definitely knows the consequences if he doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, so let's do our wrap up, and we're back in the workbook, and so spend some more time. So the Wheel of Life of Self-Care here. You know, spend some time over the next week, and as you think about taking aim, you know, we normally take aim on a challenge with our kids. This is a great opportunity to say, okay, where am I taking aim on something for my own self-care? So the wrap-up is on page 17, and we're going to answer our four closing questions. So just jot down some notes as we're going through these. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take, and how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from both of you, one aha and one action item.
I think for me, is that I need to take care of myself and make it a priority for me. And action steps, just do it, you know, just set the alarm earlier, get my clothes laid out to work out the night before, you know, let my husband and son know, okay, when you wake up at 5:30, I'm going to be gone. I'll be home by 10 to 6 to take a shower. And make a commitment to at least do it for, you know, a week, you know, not maybe 3 days in 1 week. And then look at it and see if it needs to get changed or edited somehow, as far as needing maybe to leave earlier or I can work out longer or what.
Great, great. And it sounds like you're pretty confident that you can make this change pretty easily, Jennifer.
Yeah, I should be able to. It's not like I haven't done it before. I just need to do it.
Awesome. Dan, what about you?
And for me, in addition to the things with Martin and figuring out how to engage him more to do some things together each week for, like, fun time together, bonding, for the self-care, knowing how hard it is to advocate for myself for the social and intimacy parts of that circle, and at least in the area where I do have control over, like, getting more sleep, to at least start with one night a week to change my habit and just, like, quickly take care of my teeth and go to bed and maybe read for a few minutes, and that would lead to one more hour of sleep and higher quality sleep because I wouldn't have looked at, like, screens beforehand. And if I could, to progressively increase that to additional nights, because I know that getting more sleep could make a real difference for me, and I know it's supposed to help with memory and even weight control to get enough sleep and just mental and physical health. So I think that that could have a positive outcome. And in fact, it would probably give me more patience with my son if I have a full night's sleep each night. And in terms of, like, the oxygen mask, the idea is if I take care of myself better, that I can certainly help others better too if I'm a little bit more calm and rested. So I think this is really doable for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Great. Great. Well, great call today, guys. Thanks so much for being here. So next week is a Lifeline call at noon this time here, just like the Q&A calls, the office hour calls are Tuesday the 19th at noon, and then we will be back with PSS on the 26th. So have a great week, everybody, and we will talk soon.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for your help, and good luck with your power outage.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys.
Hopefully it'll come back on soon.
Yep. I'm going to run home now. Maybe it'll be on by the time I get there. That's my
favorite path. Yeah, we could pray for that. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Okay,
thanks,
thank you. Bye.